the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 201. Hymn 201. Grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. Hymn 201.
Together from the Holy Word of God, from Paul's Epistle to the Romans, and chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It is, I know, a very familiar chapter. It's a very blessed chapter, a And may we read it with that desire that the Lord will speak to us through it. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord bless to us that reading of his holy word, and help us now in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we seek to reverence thy great and thy holy name as we gather in thine earthly courts. Lord, we would remember that thou hast said that God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord, we would remember that there is say to Moses, put off the shoes from off thy feet, the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And as we gather in thy name and in the church of God, we remember that the pastors, the angels of the churches, the ministers are in thy hand. Thou dost dwell in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. It is a place, and Lord, this place here at Swavesey is a place that is and has been to many, many of the friends here, many of those that are now in glory, holy ground. Thou hast made it so because thou hast come and blessed them here, and thou hast revealed thy beloved Son to thy dear people here. And we pray that this day might be another such occasion. Lord, we gather as sinners, we feel it very much. And Lord, whether we speak or hear, Lord, we know that if thou shouldst come and bless us, 'twill be as we have sung, all of thy grace and of thy mercy. We are not worthy of thy help to speak in thy name. We are not worthy to receive of thy precious word. We are not worthy that thou shouldst visit us with thy salvation and hear our prayers, our cries. O Lord, do send that help and blessing. We do see, Lord, even in a natural way, that thou hast given that strength of body and of mind. For, Lord, thou knowest those who've turned in this day that are weary and will struggle to concentrate. Lord, do help them and do be with them. We see thy blessing upon the deacons. Do remember them and do bless our dear brother at the desk. The hymns that are given out this morning, we trust this evening by our dear brother too. We see that help for them. And may they be encouraged in all that is done here. And may they see thy good hand upon the people here. Do be with the families. We thank thee for them, the little ones and the gatherings together here. And Lord, when we hear as well that thou hast preserved a life and brought another into this world, we do thank thee for this, for thy care, thy blessing upon the dear friends here. And we do seek, Lord, that help might be given to bring up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. O Lord, do bless each family then, do bless those here that are gathering, and maybe they have not a family round about them, or those who meet here with sorrow because there are those members of the family that are not in thy house today. O send out thy word to them, have mercy upon them, and bring them again to desire thy word, or to desire it for the first time. And Lord, those who may be gathered today but are resting in their chapel attendance, Lord, do be pleased to work savingly in their hearts that they might hear those things that we have read. Lord, the vital necessity of being in Christ Jesus. And Lord, do be pleased to remember us when we feel the working of sin so much in our members. Do grant that we might not walk after the flesh. Do grant help to mortify through thy Spirit the deeds of the body, but that we might walk after the Spirit, after the things of God, and seek them. Help us to brush aside, to push aside, to run the race that is set before us, not looking at the waves and the billows, our temptations, our sins, our weakness, but looking unto Jesus. Lord, remember any that are dwelling upon themselves too long, as the hymn writer warns. Lord, we know we shall never find that help there. Out of self to Jesus lead. Lord, we pray thy Holy Spirit will do that for us. Thou hast said he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Do that this morning. O thou most holy and blessed Spirit, show us the dear Redeemer, the Lamb of God. Show us the things of God, and make to us salvation known and witness with the blood. We seek that we might know the truth, that we might know thy blessed word, thou God of heaven and of earth, and that we might know thy beloved Son, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we might know thy Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, that we might know the truth in a triune God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. O Lord, do remember those who gather in the midst of tribulation and trial. May thy word be suitable and a blessing to them this day. Do remember those who feel to need that grace to help in their time of need, and do grant that blessing upon them. Lord, help those that may be distracted today. Lord, if they do not hear the whole message, may they hear one word. Lord, do be pleased to help, especially the mothers and those caring with the children in this way, that there might be one word here or there that is heard. Lord, we think of many times over the years that there's seldom that we can remember a whole sermon, but we can remember one word and one truth and one message. And Lord, we pray that that might be the case for us here this morning. Do remember those in sickness. We thank thee for healing mercies from our dear brother and sister in faith. Do remember others that are in affliction. Do grant thy kind healing hand upon them. Do comfort those that are in bereavement, and help them and be with them who walk in that path. We pray for those that are away. We see the empty seats. We trust are on holiday. We commit them unto thee, or those not here, those that may be joining online. We pray thy blessing to be in their souls. O Lord, we do seek of thee that thou hast be with our own people at home, and bless thy dear servant that ministers at Cranbrook today, and each, Lord, of thy servants, to be with them, to send forth more labourers into the harvest. Be with thy dear aged servants. We think of how many are over the 80 years, and those also over 90 years of age, and we do see thy blessing upon their ministry in the eventide of their lives. O Lord, we pray that thou hast then work a work in our day. Revive thy hand in this land. Pour out thy spirit. We mourn on account of the abominations done in it. And Lord, our hearts, they are part of the same. We are part of the same. We pray for those in distress in this land with the high prices, Lord. We think of those who may be struggling to pay mortgages or rent, and those that are very tried of those increases of prices. And Lord, we have come through many trials to make these things work together for good, we pray, and that many might in their trouble call upon thee. Thou hast said, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. O Lord, we do pray for those in other nations, especially Ukraine, to put a stop to war. Remember those in distress there. We thank thee where we hear of those brought to a knowledge of thee in the midst of these tribulations. We pray for our dear friends also in Sri Lanka, those we know there in great trial at this time as well. O Lord, we do thank thee for thy salvation. We thank thee for a faithful translation of thy holy word, and that we are able to read it. We thank thee for our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his coming to this world, for his perfect life and obedience, even unto death, the death of the cross. We thank thee for that exaltation and that giving of him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. The empty tomb, a risen Saviour, and Lord, the power attending the word, and that even after 2,000 years, still thou art quickening souls into life. Still thy power to save is not abated. Still thou art with us. Still thy promise is true. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. O Lord, help us to lean hard upon thee. Refresh and strengthen thy people in this wilderness journey this morning. Encourage them in the Lord their God, and do be with us to help us. Out of weakness make strong, and may, Lord, thy word that is strong redound to thine honour and thy glory in the quickening of souls, that we might say and realise, as Paul did with the Thessalonians, that the word came not in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We seek, we beg for that power. Thy mercy through grace, mercy through blood. We pray that power of God that bringeth salvation, that touches souls, that we might know that thy Spirit remaineth among the dear friends here, remaineth with us in the ministry, remaineth even in this land, to bless thy word to thine honour and glory. We ask thee these things through thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 1116. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proofs I see sufficient of it. 'Tis a true and faithful word. Hymn 1116.
Thank you.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Romans 8. Romans 8, and reading for our text, verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8, verse 37. The apostle has just listed out a number of things that he prefaces with this word, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's interesting, he doesn't say what shall separate us, but who. And often those things that are listed here come as a person or as Satan working through these things. But there's something that is left out in that list of things that he is asking shall separate. And that thing, that matter is sin. Is sin. And there may be those of you here that view your sins and view that which goes on in your heart, you say, if anything that's going to separate, it's my sin. And sin does separate. In the people of God, we read in Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. But notice what it says here, between you and your God. The Lord's people will know that God will chasten for sin, and for sin he will withdraw his presence for a season. He never leaves his people, though, and they are never lost because of their sin. And you see in the chapter where our text is, sin is dealt with in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why it's not mentioned about those things that will separate. The chapter begins, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It follows from the apostle in the previous chapter, speaking of sin that is within him. The good that I would do, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And he speaks, he says, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And what is emphasized here is that the sacrifice that our Lord offered upon Calvary is a propitiation. It takes away the wrath of God. It brings that removal of the condemnation to those that walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. For those for whom Christ has died, that putting away of sin is forever. It doesn't mean to say that we don't have to confess our sins and pray for mercy and pardon of fresh accumulated sin. We have sung in our middle hymn of what sin is, and may we never ever forget how vile, how heinous it is. And it is centered really in Christ. His sufferings, his death shows what sin is. Rather than pass over it, he must suffer, he must die, he must come here below and accomplish the salvation of his people. But when we have a text like this, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And when the context is the thought that there could be something that separates and sin is not included in that, it really so emphasizes how complete, how perfect that sacrifice is. How the Lord has dealt with sin in his people to completely blot out their transgressions. We do need to remember this. We do need to remember that what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on Calvary for his people is eternal, and it can never, ever be undone. He is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. The sins of all the people of God were put away at Calvary. They're put away then. Those in the Old Testament, they viewed by faith what Christ would do through the types and the shadows. Long list in Hebrews 11, they all died in faith. And the church of God now looks back. You know, when you gather around the Lord's table, and I might have said this before because it's been a sweet thing to me. The Lord's people gathering around the Lord's table, they've got all different experience, different ages. They've been called at different times, in different ways, in different manners. But they've all been brought to know and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to value his precious blood. However different their experience, some a deep experience, some not so deep, but they've all brought to that one point, that their whole hope and trust is in Christ and in his precious blood. And what are they remembering at the Lord's table? They're remembering that one offering and sacrifice for sin. And there, everyone at that table, however different their calling, their ages were, how one might have been 40 years in the way, another just a year or just being received in the Lord's table, all of them, their sins were put away in exactly the same time, exactly the same way, at Calvary, by the Lord Jesus Christ. In one way, it's a complete leveller for the church of God. None can say that their sins were put away in a greater or a different way than another's, however much our experience differs. The Lord's people are one in Christ. And I want to highlight this because when we're to the context here is who shall separate. But as we're born into this world, we are already separated. We are already alienated from God through wicked works. We're already in Adam, as it were, banished from the garden. The whole gospel is to bring nigh, to undo the separation that is through the fall. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ to make atonement, to redeem, to reconcile God and sinners, reconcile ye that were sometime far off by wicked works are brought nigh by the cross of Christ. And eventually the Lord will bring his people not just into the communion with him here or into the church of God here below, but the church above. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Partners of his throne, inheritance, inheriting together with the Lord. Such a close union, an eternal union. And so Paul has to ask, who shall separate, it implies this. If there are those of you here and you're concerned about being separated from the Lord, does not it tell this that the Lord has already brought you nigh? The Lord has already brought you to know something of what it is to have fellowship, communion, and union with Him. And having tasted that, you dread the thought of separation. You do not want to be parted from Him. The hymn writer says, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from Thee. And none in nature's darkness will say that. There are those that have known the preciousness of Christ, those who've had their eyes opened, those who's passed by and bid them live, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. All those for whom Christ died, those that long chain here, those who have been foreknown and foreloved and predestinated that in this life they should be like the Lord. In this life they should be called. They should know what sin is, mourn over it, have fellowship with the Lord in His sufferings. As He was, so should they be. The Lord said, if they have persecuted Me, they'll persecute you. And that path has been ordained for the people of God in this life. They should be strangers and pilgrims here like the Lord was. Often people think of predestination as to the end in glory. But in the beautiful link that is here, it is those who are predestinated, then they're called, then they're justified, then they're glorified. And the path of the people of God here below has been appointed by our Lord Jesus Christ. You hear of some ways that He says it is appointed. He must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom. In Me ye shall have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. That path that we walk here below is known by the Lord, appointed by the Lord. When we are born, when we are born again, in all the tribulations, in all the way, the Lord has appointed it, that should be the case. And so if there is that fear, what if My name should be left out when Thou for them shalt call? If there's that fear of separation, I venture to say, already the Lord has brought you to value that union, and therefore the fear of separation is there. You can't be separated from something you've never had a union with or be with. There must already be a foundation, a union. You cannot separate anything that is already separated. It is something that is together, something that is already a union, that then there is the threat of separation. And with the apostle leaving out sin, it emphasizes the work of our Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary can never be undone. It is not one of those things. Sin cannot separate. It's been dealt with. It's been atoned for. It's been put away. Complete satisfaction. Not just the sins from when you were converted, before you were converted, but all the sins of the people of God that they should ever commit. Paul says, because we are saved by grace, shall we sin that grace might abound? God forbid. We are not to walk in that way, sinning that grace might abound. But it makes very clear that God saved people, they still do sin. In fact, we may say the only people that really know what sin is and mourn over it day by day are God's people. And that's why they need to be reminded constantly of Calvary, constantly of the precious blood. No plea but that, no hope but that. That growing grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does that mean? It's not growing in works. Grace is realizing more and more, if ever my poor soul be saved, his Christ must be the way. And so that is established in a way by the very idea of separation, and yet sin is not mentioned. The whole of this chapter, it speaks of those that are not under condemnation. But the dear people of God have got to go through, and they do go through many, many things. Things that they may well fear shall separate. And so that is why the apostle says here, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So there's three things in the text I want to bring before you. Firstly, in all these things, there is a list of things here that he says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then secondly, more than conquerors, what is set forth there? And then lastly, how it is we are more than conquerors in these things, it is through him that loved us. And you might say, why does it say, or doesn't say, him that loves us? But him that loved us, I love thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And again, it's pointing back to that one sacrifice at Calvary. But what are these things? In all these things, from verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, that is deep troubles in our lives, or distress? Sometimes we can get very distressed through afflictions, through what people do to us, through bereavements, through losses, or persecution because of our stand, because of openly serving the Lord, for those that not only speak against us, but do things against us, losing business, losing friends, having things spitefully done against us in the name of the Lord, or famine. We read in Amos that in the last days there shall be a famine, not of bread or water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. Famine like that, God's children feel more than anything. Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But they may be amongst those who are deprived of their food. We think of the friends in Ukraine at this time, and many of them in much distress in this way. Or nakedness, no clothes, or peril. Paul speaks of the perils that he was in on the sea. many days, could not see the light of the sun, tossed to and fro, life uncertain, threatened with having it taken away, or sought. We have wars, rumours of wars that shall come to the land, and we have that again in Ukraine and the threat that that could develop even into nuclear wars. But we read in verse 36, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And in that way, he is speaking for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, when the law came, sin revived and I died. Really, the lives of the people of God are like John Baptist. I must decrease, he must increase. Slain, killed, brought low, all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. The world doesn't want the people of God. The people of God don't want the world. But they also have that exercise and burden within, that constant within as well. And yet he says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Later on, he adds to this number in his persuasion, and he adds death, and nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. The love of God, so strong. All these things, such an inexhaustible list. There are those things that you felt to take away the love of God to your soul, that he removed that love. We can often mistake the love of God, can't we? The end of Psalm 107, we read, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of God. And sometimes we really need to understand what the Lord is doing, understand his love. A child that is chastened and corrected because they have done wrong needs to understand that there's as much love, if not more, in that smack, in that correction, as there is in giving something pleasant and a present or something like that. There's love behind it, but it needs to be understood. In all these things, may this be a word in season for some things or those things in your life that you're facing that come under some of these heads, these things that you think surely a loving God would not do that. That's what the world says, you know. They point to this and that that's happening in their lives and that's happening in the world, and they said, if there's a loving God, he wouldn't do that. It can't be that the love of God is upon a person and this is happening to them. But really the apostle is saying the people of God can have all of these things and they are not separated from the love of God. The love of God is still upon them. In all these things. Well, what does he say? In all these things. Is it just that these won't separate from the love of God? He doesn't. He says, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Not after we've escaped these things, we can then say we are more than conquerors, but in them. We know when the Lord chastens his people, we have in Hebrews 12, that no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. There is an afterward, a yielding the peaceable fruits of righteousness, but there's something going on in that chastening. And whether it is in trial, in famine, in persecution, or whatever it is, the Lord has laid his hand upon us. The Lord makes us more than conquerors in all these things. Do not we read in this same passage, in verse 28, so well known to us, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God is not only going to deliver us from those things, conquer in those things, but make us more than conquerors so that actually those things work for good. Do you not hear Joseph? What had Joseph been through? Persecution, distress, peril. At one time his brothers were considering even killing him, then they sold him. How many things he'd been through? And yet he says at the end to his brothers, that ye sent me not hither but God to deliver your lives by great deliverance. Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And we read in Psalm 105 that until his time came, the word of the Lord tried him. He was exercised through all of that time. The Lord was with him. We are told that in Scripture. Don't ever think when trials, when troubles come, oh, that we can get out of them. Quickly get out of them. Or suddenly despair and think, the love of God is not with me. How can this happen if the love of God is with me? But rather think, what is the Lord going to do in this trial? How is his love going to be made manifest so that not only does it not destroy me and overcome me and destroy my faith, but I actually come out the other side bettered, and that in it there is profit. In it there are those helps. Call upon me after the day of trouble. No, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. To glorify the Lord in the fires. When Daniel knew that the threat was over his life, if he prayed, he still prayed. When the Hebrews knew that if they did not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image, he would throw them into the fire. They testified if the Lord was pleased to deliver them, he would. But if not, may he know that they would not bow down to his image. They cast themselves upon the Lord, upon his providence, upon his care. In all these things, not only conquerors, but more than conquerors. Because there is some profit, there's some benefit. We are assured in the Ecclesiastes, and Jeremiah had to face this. He had to look, not Ecclesiastes, Lamentations of Jeremiah, and see the temple destroyed and their whole land destroyed. What was the Lord doing? Was he bringing Israel completely down? He brought them into captivity for the 70 years. He brought them out, and we have in Matthew 1 those 14 generations from Abraham to David, from David to the carrying away into Babylon, from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ, that was a very notable, marked time in the history of the children of Israel. It was for their sin. But the Lord had a work that was to be done there, and a bringing back again, establishing them again. And those things that the Lord does with his people, they are appointed that there will be things done in them. And we're told the Lord doth not afflict willingly and cause that distress for his people. He doesn't just arbitrarily say, this is one of my children, they've got to have tribulation, I think I'll do this, and they'll have this sorrow and this bereavement. Do you think God is like that? Do you think our God is like that? That he would deal with his children in such a way and say, there won't be any profit, there won't be any blessing, there won't be naturally, and there won't be spiritually. Now, sometimes we can only look at things in a natural way. And, you know, at first, sometimes with the people of God, I felt it was with me. I could see the Lord's blessing and help in a natural way. And then there came a trial and brought out of it. And I thought, there's been no monetary profit, no material profit. There have been things that have been taken away and the trial had finished. But then when it dawned upon me, the Lord had taken all that trouble to work these providences and bring through this thing because he loved my soul and because he'd teach me for eternity and teach my soul. And you know, I never forget how softened I was in that realization that the Lord valued my soul and to teach me spiritually more than any material thing. Value that more than anything else, than silver, gold, or house, or friends, or loved ones, if the Lord teach us about himself and instruct us in the way that we should go and prepare us for eternity. Bless the Lord for every lesson, every instruction, everything he does. More than conquerors. That is, we don't only escape or come through from these things, but we come through bettered by the cross and helped through those things. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Well, our third point is told where and why we are more than conquerors. It is through him that loved us. And remember that the whole question here is not only a separation from God, not only a separation from Christ, it's a separation from his love. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? In the verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. As if the Lord would withdraw that love and separate that love from his people. So in our text, in all these things, how we are made more than conquerors, how that we profit, how that there is a blessing and a help in these things, is not through us, is not through chance, it's not through some kind brother or sister in faith that's come and helped us in our time of need. The Lord may use, dear brethren, may use friends in that way. Use the church of God in that way. But it's through him that loved us. So in the very trials, in those very things, that we may be thinking of threatening to take away the love or show that God does not love us anymore, We are receiving that help and benefit and profit through him that loved us. There is love inscribed on it. As if the apostle would say, in these things, the Lord is showing his love in a different way than you have seen it and realized it before. The Lord's love in tribulation, in distress, in persecution, in famine, in nakedness, in peril, in sword, in being killed, slain, brought low, accounted as sheep for the slaughter, the Lord shows his love to his people in those things. One of our hymns says, I am with thee, Israel passing through the fire. I believe some of you that know the Lord will know this. If you go back to those times when the love of Christ has been most sweet to you, it has been in those dark times. It has been in trials and tribulations. Sometimes it has not been realized until the afterwards. Nevertheless, afterwards, will I, Joseph, be able to look back? But it's been a help when you've come into fresh trials. These things are not brought by Satan. They're not being brought by the world. They've been measured out by the hand of our gracious, kind God, who has some design and some purpose in what he is doing. And he will accomplish it. And there's love inscribed on it, not malice, not bitterness, not anger, not wrath, no. And don't ever think that this word is only spoken to perfect, sinless, upright people. No, it's sinners. God's dear children are sinners. And they feel it so, they mourn over their sins. Don't rule yourself out from such a word in listening to Satan. Well, if you were God's children, you wouldn't sin. Now that sinless perfection, we deny the chief of Satan's wiles. As the hymn writer says, sinners can say, none but they, how precious is the Saviour. That sinless state remains and waits for us beyond the grave. But here below, we will hate sin like we have sung. And we'll view it in the Lord Jesus Christ, his sufferings, his death for us. And we'll realize in those things that he brings us through that none of those will take away that love that he had for us when he suffered for us. In the earlier parts of this epistle to the Romans, the apostle, he says, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He commends his love toward us in that way. If while we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved through his life. And the apostle here is speaking to a people that are not under condemnation, that are reconciled, that are no longer alienated, but have been brought nigh and have been brought united to Christ. And to assure them that that love he first bestowed upon them in all these things that they pass through, that love is still the same and even more, because in those things he will bless them and he will show them that love that he has to them. They'll have that fellowship with him in his sufferings, and they'll see what he is able to do as he brings them through the trials and those fires that show the reality of the work of grace in their hearts and brings them to profit, to be strengthened and helped through those things that they pass through. There's something that we cannot bring the good out of it. The world cannot bring the good out of it. But a loving God can, and he does. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Tim Parrish next Lord's Day. He also hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 1107. When some sweet promise warms our heart and cheers us under every care, it is the Spirit's gracious part to take that word and fix it there. Hymn 1107.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.